see Todd. Oh, got it. See Todd there. Looks like we got Steve. Welcome, guys. And let's see. Let me get up the agenda. All right, so calling to order the meeting of the Parks and Recs Commission. It is August 16th, approximately 7:02 p.m. Present tonight, we have myself, Brian Miller. We have
Maggie's the phone number. She wrote in the chat that was her.
Okay, excellent. So Maggie's here as well. All right, good. Yeah, so we have... All right, so we have Todd and we have Corey and we have Steve and we have Maggie. Rebecca is absent and Taryn is here as well. All right, so moving along, we can move into the agenda. So first item of business is approval of the minutes from 5:16. Taryn did share those in the email a week ago. If anyone would like an additional minute to review those or doesn't have them, please let me know now. All right, and there's Rebecca. Welcome.
Hey, guys. I'm just trying to get my AirPod to work. There okay. We go. Can you hear? There we go. All right.
Yeah, you're good.
All right, I'm going to put you up here. Yeah.
We're just getting started. Rebecca, did you need any time to review the minutes from last time?
Oh, no, I read them.
You're good. Okay. All right. Will someone please make a motion to accept the minutes from the prior meeting?
Motion to approve.
And do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Thanks, Todd. All right. Perfect. All right. Anyone from the public on the line, Taryn?
Nope, I don't have anyone over there.
Okay. Does anyone on the commission have any comments they would like to make from a public perspective? All right. And then we'll move on to our next order of business, introduction of a new commission member. So that's exciting. So Corey, welcome. Taryn, did you want to give us any more information?
This is my first time speaking with Corey. Corey, welcome. We're so happy to have you here. If you wanted to tell us a little bit about yourself, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I would love to. We moved to Canton about 13 years ago from Texas. I actually grew up in Simsbury, so it was kind of like a little bit of a homecoming. And when I grew up in Simsbury, I always thought Canton would be a really nice place to live. Moving back here from Texas, we decided to look in this area and found a house and settled in. I have three children, a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 17-year-old. So we're kind of getting ready to start the whole college searching process. So a new beginning that we haven't had to do yet. I've worked for CarMax for 23 years. So right out of college, I majored in speech pathology and audiology and then started working for CarMax and kind of fell in love with their culture and what they do and have been there for 23 years. I moved with CarMax from Virginia, where I started with them, to Chicago and then lived there for about 6 years and worked a bunch of different stores in Chicago. And then they moved me down to Texas, where I worked a couple different stores. And then they moved me, interestingly and surprising, because that's where I'm from, but back down to Connecticut to work at a few of their stores down here in Connecticut. So that's a little bit about me. And I'm excited to be on this. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. Well, welcome, Corey. Thank you for sharing. We're happy to have you here and thank you for your service. All right. So with that, the next item on the agenda is ARAP project update. So Taryn, I'll kick it over to you.
Sure. So what I will do is I have some renderings, some descriptions of some things. So I'm going to show you everything. We'll kind of go through the playground fitness equipment is the most complete at this time, but I figured we'll go through it all, show it, you know, any comments you guys have, we can then go through those. I'll make some notes. And then after that, we'll go through what I have for the splash pad. It's not as complete yet, but at least I have some pretty good details and ideas. And I think it's a good place for us to start with that, so that then we can reach back out to the companies. But let me just.
Yep, as Taryn's getting ready, Corey, we've been working on a plan for, through the funding we got through the American Rescue Plan, to build. We got the first, the selectmen and a subcommittee, a lot of money for a bunch of renovations to Mills Pond. So the playground, we're going to replace the wading pool, the splash pad, and, you know, and there were, and the swimming pool is going to get some work. The shell's going to get tested and done, I think. That was part of it, Taryn.
Yep.
And some fitness equipment. So there's a bunch of stuff that we've been planning on, and Taryn's been working on the planning side of things. So that's what she's going to review for us.
Yes. All right. Let's see. Nothing wants to pop up. All right. So what I will start with is the playground. So in researching this, I was, you know, we have $75,000 for the playground and $25,000 for the fitness equipment. We were able to find a company that had both of those things in one, you know, potentially, if you were happy with that. So we can start with that. Can you see that picture or no?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is, let me go back to it. I haven't used Zoom in a while. So this piece encompasses ages 2 through 12. Most of the pieces that are the full large pieces will only do a 2 to 5 or a 5 to 12. So this piece itself covers that entire age range. And with the space we have over there, you know, it's not the largest space. I thought that this would be a great piece that had a little bit of everything, and then we could do some other outside items as well to kind of round out what the offerings were. So this is the all-in-one piece. You can kind of see there's a log crawl through over here, and there's a better picture of it coming up as well. This is kind of looking down at it. We have these little, I know that we had discussed doing a nature theme, and so when I worked with this company specifically, that was kind of what we had discussed, was trying to keep that within that theme. So we have these little spinning seats over here that are shaped like leaves. We tried to keep the whole color palette as neutral and, you know, close to that nature theme as possible. There's that log crawl through. There's also a log balance beam. We have, for adaptability, you can see there's multiple slides on coming off of the large piece. The thing in the back here is like a spinning mushroom that kids could hang on. We also have this seat in the way back, which we have a better view of. It's an overhead. There's not a huge, there's the small seat over here. It's an adaptive seat that children could be strapped into, and it spins as well so that there's safety, but they also are able to participate. And then the swings are something that we really thought were, I'll go back to this one. You can see we have, it's basically 4 bays all in one. 3 bays, I'm counting wrong. Some of the seats that we have on there are, they're like a 2-in-1 seat where, actually, let me pull it up. I'll pull it up separately. They're a 2-in-1 seat where 2 kids can participate at one time on the swing. So they would be able to, there's a baby seat on one side, and then there is, either a bucket seat on the other side, or there's 2 bucket seats so that kids would be able to swing together. I thought that was really something that would be a nice thing to have, so that there was more participation and not just individual swimming, but that there were also individual swings for kids who didn't want to do that or didn't have a buddy at that time. It also encourages parent participation with their younger children, and there's not always that many options, especially for kids who still fit in a baby seat or need to be, you know, they're just learning to be a part of the playground, the play area. So it's a way to get everybody more involved in the whole family. So that is the general oversight. You can see the chair a little bit better here. It's a spinning seat. It looks fairly spread out, but with each thing, it has a use zone. And so the way it's laid out is so that there's a safe enough space. And with the space we have over there, this, I think the rendering looks larger than it would be when the physical items were out there. I also did it with them where it would cut into the volleyball court area so that we had a little bit more surface area to put playground equipment. And I know we had discussed possibly doing bocce courts. And so that may be a better option to have the bocce courts in between the skate park and the playground as more of a buffer zone, if that was something that we wanted to look at doing down the line. So I don't know if there's thoughts currently on what that plan looks like or the theme or any of the elements within it. I was trying to do within the dollar amount that we had to cover as many areas as we could and as many age ranges and abilities.
I personally like the natural color and how everything kind of flows together really well. I'm like you, I think the double swing is going to be a huge hit, actually.
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up too.
Yeah, this is this looks like it's right in line with what we have in terms of scope, you know, size, you know, it would be a good replacement, good refresher. And we definitely need to rework that volleyball court area. So, you know, totally fine with moving into that area. The other thing is there's existing swings next to the pavilion, right? In between the pool and the pavilion. So those will probably be taken out during construction, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So these would replace those.
Yes. Yep. And then because they're also right now we have swings on both sides. So the ones on the pool side are all the baby swings, toddler swings, and then the other side of the playground are the traditional bucket seat. So we would have it all in one row. It's also, I think, if parents are going to have multiple children and multiple age children, if we have all of those in one place versus having the swing set set up on different sides of the playground, it would, you know, a little bit more ease of use.
Yep. Sounds good.
I just want to pull up just so you can see it better.
I'm thinking over at Cherry Brook, you know, one of the swings over there, I think at least one is, you know, sort of oriented towards someone who's handicapped. I assume we'll have something like that here.
Yes. Yeah, there is one in there as well that we have right in the center of that as well. You can kind of see it in the background. It has the tan chess piece that would come down to secure the user into the seat. And that's also what that standing spinning pieces, but this is the double swing. So you can see this one has the toddler seat and then the traditional seat. And then the other we would do would be two of the traditional swing seats so that kids of a more similar age or a little bit of an older child and a parent could swing together, or on this one, you know, maybe two smaller children in one family, or an adult and a younger child. But I thought those were really a great way to encourage extra use in a place that's traditionally a single use area.
But what's the material of the floor?
So that would be wood chips. Funding wise, I would love to do the rubber. We don't have the funding for that at this time. Even this, which I'll show you the cost of all of this after we go through the fitness equipment, is over what that dollar amount that we were given through that funding is. And we'll be able to have with some of the construction, Public Works has offered to do some of the tear down, remove the playground that's there and get rid of that for us so that it would save costs.
That's good.
On the install side of it. So they're happy to help us with that piece of it. And they'll also be able to rake out the wood chips that we do have there and use those as a base layer so that we don't have to add as thick of a layer brand new, because we'll have some that we can use as a base from what's currently there. So that'll be another way to cost save. I did notice this company came up today, or recently I noticed it, with they have grant funding available. So we're going to look into that as well and see if there's a way that we could get any additional grant funding through applying for this that may also help offset some of the cost of it as well. Because again, when I'll show you the pricing after, and it is, you know, over that 100,000 total that we had for playground and fitness. And we can also keep fitness separate. I was looking at it this way as a way to save save and install costs. And this is I'll just show you this as well. This is the overhead of the layout for the whole playground space. And the thought was to have the swings on the side closer to the skate park versus the side closer to the fence, so that they weren't hitting into the fence or whatever that area will look like once the splash pad is in and completed as well. So we have that. And then, so this company had this piece for fitness equipment.
And Karen, I'm sorry, can you put that last picture up again? I just want to snag a picture so I can zoom in.
Yep, absolutely. I'll try to zoom it in more too, so it'll be easier. Hold on. Does that work? All set?
Yeah, I just couldn't hit mute because it was trying to delete the photo. I can't see the
video because I have the shared screen up, so it's hard to tell. All right, so this was the outdoor fitness piece that I found. It was through this company that this would be the overhead view of it. I think the area that we had discussed was over by the basketball courts on that that grassy area between the basketball courts and the parking lot. So this is something that would certainly fit within that footprint. We're able to do it in the exact same color scheme as the other, as the playground, so that we could keep it consistent and as a full flow through all of the new equipment that we would have there. But it has the climbing, the bench, step. It has five different zones within it. So it's the multi-use piece like we had been looking for previously. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I like how the colors all tie together. I like that it's from the same company. I think that's a good idea. As far as the fitness piece goes, you know, it seems to be right in line with what we were talking about buying one central piece for that area behind the basketball courts. And then maybe at a future time, adding a path around there with some fitness path instructions. But that's a good starting spot for sure. Something we can build off of. So I think that's a good option.
Great. So now I will go back to this is the pricing that they had given me for all of the playground pieces and that outdoor fitness. And I'll zoom in on it so you can see. The total cost for all of the playground equipment, the fitness equipment, the install, and then through the Connecticut State buying contract, there's a discount involved with that, which is basically the cost of, it says the material surcharge and a little bit additional than that, the total would come to $123,854.76. That's simply for the equipment. I've already gone through with him and changed some of the items that we had there to lower that. The original was closer to 130. So again, it's over. I'm going to work on that grant funding and see if it's something that we could possibly get some additional funding towards. there's one grant that goes specifically for the fitness equipment and then one that goes specifically for playground equipment. And when we, if we're able to do and apply for that, we're able to check off that we would be interested in possible match grant funding for both of those items. So separately from that, I know we had discussed previously that we have the balance in the special revenue fund. And if we wanted to potentially spend any money out of that towards completing a project, currently, as of June 30th, there's $143,244 in that special revenue overflow account. So if you want, I can pull that the pricing back up just so you can see all of it and, you know, what's included within that.
So Taryn, what was the amount originally that we had set aside for the fitness equipment? Was it 20,000?
25. So that would have been the equipment and the install.
Okay. Yeah. So 25 and the 75 for the playground. So we're short 23.
Yeah.
24. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's in my mind, that's just right. I mean, if the grant, I don't know how long the grant application process takes, you know, state of Connecticut grant fund, you know, seems like something that would take a while, but that's right around the dollar.
Funding is through Game Time. It's through this, playground equipment company.
Oh, so they're offering to find grants for us.
Yeah. So they have grant funding through this company if you purchase equipment through them. But because they're on the Connecticut state purchasing, we'd have to still go through the Board of Selectmen and have them approve it, that we purchase directly from them. But there's the possibility of doing that. And a lot of these pieces, like those expression swings, the 2-in-1 swings, are exclusive just to this company. So if we were to look for them, we'd have to get them through them. And then that all-in-one piece that we have, I did a lot of research on options for that. And something that encompasses that entire age range is either much more expensive or much larger, or it didn't have as many elements and would be quite a bit smaller. So I think that, in terms of the theme that we had discussed wanting and trying to keep through, the whole park as we move forward, and what it offers to the users, I think it's the best bet that we have and, really would be the best outcome for the playground and the park moving forward.
How big will the grant be, or may grant be?
It is an open amount. Basically, you just have to match it, which obviously we have the funding, so we can match the dollar amount. Okay. And then they list, they don't give you a real specific on what the exact dollar amounts are. They'll give you, I think it was up to $7,000 for the fitness equipment, which the piece that we were looking at was the lowest end, mm-hmm. not the lowest end, the lowest model, the smallest model. So my guess is that the grant funding towards that would be on the lower end of that 7,000, or probably, I don't know for sure. I would think it's probably on the, starting side of the 7,000, closer maybe to 1,000 or so. But we're going to look into it a little bit more and just see, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work out. But I think it's a great avenue to at least look into and see if we can get anything to help us offset it if possible.
Yeah, totally agree. Great research, Taryn. Thank you for pulling that together and giving us the update on that.
I just want to make sure everyone is happy with the look of that, what the pieces are that are in there. Anything you'd like to see changed or updated, or, if we're happy with how that graphic looks, and then I can try to move forward one way or another from there.
Looks great to me.
Yeah, looks pretty good. I wish we could roll a log in there and save a couple thousand.
Yeah, those manufactured logs are not cheap.
No, it's not.
All right. And yep, thank you, Maggie. Maggie's on board. So that's perfect. All right, yeah, no concerns for me. No questions. Looks like we're on the right track. So just keep moving forward. sounded like Rebecca, I think, was happy with it as well, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. My only comment for the gap money is that I bet a lot of families would be willing to give money if we needed it, especially the ones who are just starting with young kids. So just something to keep in mind if we can't fill the gap. We did it very well with the dog park. So just a thought.
Good idea, Rebecca. Thank you.
All right. So if you want, I can show you what I have so far for the splash pad.
Yeah.
All right.
Go for it.
So I had one company that was working on a physical rendering today, and his people couldn't get it fully pulled together. But I have one that I got, and then from this other company, I have what the pieces would look like. So again, keeping with the same theme and the nature and what we wanted that to generally look like. This company is called Water Play. I just have to try to, it didn't want to open earlier either. Let's see if I can, it's like a sideways, I don't know if it'll, I can send it all after as well so that you can see it better. And as we go through, it gives you every element individually, but I'll kind of go slowly so you can see. All of the companies are going to be a combination of the ground sprayers, which you can see right here, some tall elements, some low elements, and mid. Through research and talking with the companies and also some personal use of other splash pads, I think it will be the best combination of all the elements for all ages. Some of the, even the, you know, the ground sprayers are great, but I think sometimes they can be a little bit overwhelming for toddlers because they kind of come up out of nowhere. So some of those smaller elements that are a little bit gentler, I think would be a good balance for that. But they can also be used by all ages. And then the ground sprayers are also a way where if we would like to add elements in later on, we'll have the piping in for that. So we can just keep them as ground sprayers to start with. And then if we would like to, we can add elements as we move forward through the years. So this company, he just put together some ideas for us. So you can see that there's a tree, there's a large mushroom, there's this butterfly in the back. On this one, they have elements that are basically built into the surfacing that have the look of different animals so that it gives the ground sprayers a little bit extra. There's a smaller element back here that would be, you know, a mid-height. There is an on-off button right here so that it would be user activated. It wouldn't be on all the time. Okay. This thing right here is another low element that has multi uses. It's like a magnifying glass. And then as we go further, they change the formatting of the page so you can see it better. This would be the general layout of what the splash pad would look like and how the elements would be laid out throughout the pad. And the size of it is about 1,350 square feet that we're looking at. That is the footage of where the current wade pool is. If we were to remove that and then take out some additional surfacing out of that area so that there was enough room to add elements and also have room for kids to run through and have enough spacing. So that is just the activator. That's what that looks like with the button. This kiosk, this system that they've given us is called a water to waste system. So basically a runoff where there aren't really any, there's no storage tank for water holding underneath this. It would go into the sewers. And I do have separately from a different company, a way to predict what the water costs would be for this water to waste recirculated system with the holding tank underneath. But this is what the mechanicals would look like for this system. It's a fairly small box. And then this controller that we would have access to, but again, all of the use for the facility users would be through that on and off button. Drainage, all the very fun stuff to look at. This is called the flutter. So this was the large piece that he had put in. So you could see the height of what that looks like in a different space. This was, they call it the magnify, and they had put in, I don't think there was really anything specific in the center of it, but we could look at what the center options are for in there. The rain cap, so the mushroom, you know, it's a large overhead. This one, you can see the water comes over the top and then runs down as if it was a shower. The rainforest, so the tree, it looks like it has a high sprayer and then drips down the leaves as well. So you get different different senses of the water as it comes down. This wiggly, you can see it's a lower height for, and it rotates. So, you know, we can move it around in different directions. These are the ants on the ground, and then they each have the ground sprayer coming out of them. And then there's different ground sprayer covers. So there could be different patterns of the water coming out of the ground with depending which cover we chose to put on there. That's what the frog looks like. And a gecko. This is the straight up ground sprayer. So it would be a little bit of a stronger spray. Anchoring for the element itself, but you can see there's different what the flow for those ground sprayers can look like with the different heads that would go on it. So the cost for this, and this one does not include construction, so I have Public Works is looking into what construction would generally cost. They've also offered to help with the demolition of the current area that's there and getting everything out of the way so that that would also help offset the cost of the construction for this. The cost of this one, as this company has designed it, is $82,855. So this would just be for all of the elements, all of the controlling pieces that are required. So that would be if we were to purchase those.
And do you have any rough idea what, if there was some kind of recirculation system, or what it might add to it?
So let me show you what.
And I asked that because I, you know, with the environmental uncertainty, and I was listening to the radio this morning, they were talking about how in Massachusetts with the drought going on, they're, you know, they're beginning to put limitations on water usage. So I hate to see us, you know, have it and then find out we can't use.
So this is the information I got from a different company on the difference between the water to waste and the recirculated. And with that specific company that I just showed you, that water play, they have an option where you could add in a recirculated water system later on if it wasn't cost efficient to do it at the start. So the recirculated system, you would need pumps for filtration and features, the sand filter, a chemical controller, chlorine and acid containers, and a reservoir tank. So typically, and this was for this company, it was called Raindrop. It would be a $25,000 to $30,000 add-on just for the recirculated system itself to be put in. The water to waste system is basically just that control box that I showed you separately. And then he had given me a way, which I haven't gotten into finalizing exactly like what the potential cost could be, but this is a way to look up to basically plan for what the general water use would be.
And then the recirculating, of course, adds, you know, winterizing costs would be an annual thing too.
Yes. Yep. So there'd be the winterizing. There's also general water runoff. Or burn off that would happen with that. So we would also need to refill that recirculated tank and count for chemical costs per season. So it would have to be a real spreadsheet kind of put together of what each would look like on each side, just based on what the cost is to put a recirculated system in versus that waste to water. But
right,
it makes sense. I think the recirculated system makes a lot of sense, just based on, like you said, you know, environmental and current water use and things like that. But you can also see what that cost is to have that installed. So let me show you. So this one, they didn't send me an actual rendering yet. He was working on it. He emailed me at 6 o'clock, apologizing that he couldn't get it to me yet. But this, you can at least see what the elements are through this separate company. And again, same same theme that I spoke with them about, same size. This, so they have, it would be a double-sided leaf. There's this, it's a frog that is in the ground, but that the kids can then run straight through. So it would be an overhead and then a run through. A small mushroom that's about 3 feet tall, the water would come out of. This is called the cattail, and they're able to make it. One of the ones they have is very tall, but I had asked him if he could make it possibly a little bit lower so that it would be another low element versus the leaves and the frog, which would be the tall elements. This is a small little frog that's closer to the ground, so it would be more friendly for smaller users. They also have all of the different ground spray options. So we could choose different settings that we would like for it or what we would like to have out there while having the piping in place for additional features potentially later on. This is what just some of the ground sprayers look like underneath. It's called a rain tunnel. And then an activator button, just like would be on the other one. And then their controller. And then some of the pumps. So this company, let me see what he said. They say, and again, there's no construction costs in this, so it would have to be something that we would do separately, which Public Works is looking into for me on what that could look like. This has a recirculated system built into the cost of it. So they have the 1,700 gallon holding tank that would go underneath, and all of the fittings and the cartridges and filters. And the total one, the total cost for this possible system, if we were to order it through them and then do the install separately, would be about $60,100. As soon as I get the actual picture from them, the actual rendering, I will share that with you. But I wanted you to at least be able to see what some of those elements that I had looked into having out there were, so that we could hopefully keep that same look across everything in the park. And as we move forward and as we hopefully create a longer term plan for the park and what we'd like to see there, that we'll have that in place and we can hopefully carry that through to anything else we may add in the future.
What is the budget for the splash pad?
We have $125,000 for that.
Excellent. Thank you, Taryn. So those prices look like with installation, seeing as what the installation was for the playground, which was like
about 35,000.
A fifth of the cost. Something like that. Yeah. So it seems like even with installation cost, if it's somewhat in the same vein, we should be pretty similar on this one. Quick question, you know, just because it's Canton, do we have town sewer and water at Mills Pond? I can't remember.
So it runs off into the town sewer, but we do have to pay costs for that. So that
we have access. Right?
Yes.
Like our bath, we don't have a septic field or a well that Mills Pond utilizes, right?
Correct.
Just checking.
Yep. No, it goes into the town structure for that. So,
yeah. Water from the town and the town sewage are generally pretty inexpensive, at least cheaper than my septic and well at home. So that bodes well for the cost of it long term for the project.
And after we get through the season and I have hard numbers on what this summer looked like, it won't be specific to the splash pad, but I think it can give us a pretty good idea of what a general cost would be for the waste of water and what that may look like, so that we can have a better comparison between the two systems.
Excellent. So is that all the updates you have for us?
Not
that there needs to be any more, that's plenty, but just checking.
Yes, that's it for right now.
All right, cool. Anyone else, questions, concerns about what Terrence just presented to us?
Well, then.
You know, it would be interesting to see if there was some way we could have, I don't know, whether it's a name board or something where people in the community can make contributions towards the, you know, towards the different elements and get some recognition for it at the same time.
I can certainly mark that down.
I don't know how yet, but I mean, it's worth thinking about.
Yeah, not a bad idea. We got all of our apple trees paid for that way.
You got a few dying ones.
That's true. At least one I recognized. Yeah.
There's a few. Another one in trouble too.
Okay. Yeah, that was, we're hoping for 100% survival, but that's pretty standard, right? That's not unusual for a couple to go. So we'll have to get those replaced.
Yep.
All right. Excellent. So what are the next steps on this, Taryn, in terms of timeline? What do you expect between now and the next meeting? Anything significant in terms of steps or anything we should be doing on our end to help prep for the next meeting?
I think if you're all comfortable with the theme and generally what the elements that we have for all of the projects at this point, I can move forward from there with working with Public Works on seeing what the potential cost would be for install for the splash pad so that we have a full picture of that. We'll also finish up the season, so I'll be able to hopefully get a better idea of what that water cost will look like so that we can do a comparison for that. And I should also have the actual renderings for the splash pad to share with you by next time. So we'll have a better idea of what that could look like from a couple different companies. And I'm still working with a few others as well to see what I can get. So hopefully I'll have as many options as possible for the splash pad so that we can have a really good view of what they all could be and things we like or would like to change. With the playground, like I said, the cost is over. So we're going to look into what that grant funding is, the possibility for that. I don't know if you would all wanted to discuss or if you wanted to think about for next time, if you would like to potentially spend any additional funding out of that special revenue surplus to go towards that project, or if you want me to try to work with him and knock off more elements or try to make that smaller if we potentially cannot get the grant funding.
Sure. Perfect. Thank you. So maybe next meeting we'll be in a good place to make some decisions. So will we be in a spot to make a go forward decision next meeting in terms of committing to something? And because what are we thinking again, just to review for installation timeline?
I would like, goal would be to have everything in before next summer.
Yep. Okay. So is there a cutoff date that we have to make decisions by in order to make that timeline?
Not that I know of. For the playground equipment through this company, it was like a 6-week order time. And they're able to install through the winter. You know, they're not really held back by anything. So the playground, I think we have a bit more flexibility on.
Okay.
Splash pad, because there would be concrete being poured, you know, we would have to wait until the weather was more suitable for that, which would be the spring, which would still be fine. But I would say as soon as I can get more information finalized from these companies, I'll share it with you so that we can try to push things forward.
Excellent. Sounds great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll continue that discussion next meeting and make some decisions. Sorry, Maggie, I meant to say, I saw your comment that we need a dump bucket in the splash pad. I remember dump buckets from some of the water parks I've been to. Those are great. Usually a huge item, but, you know, like a big structure and stuff. But I remember them being awesome. Did you see any dump buckets, Taryn, when you were looking through stuff?
I certainly have them. Some of the elements I were looking at were, because they were overhead, they would do a similar thing. They wouldn't dump as much. I can absolutely look into adding one of those. So if you would like to see that. But yeah, like I said, I was trying to accomplish a similar task with the elements that kind of looked as close to that theme as possible. It would still have an overhead water shower.
Gotcha. Like the tree. Perfect. All right, cool.
And then send us the video of you, recipient of the dump bucket.
There's a splash pad around the corner from my house, and we've been taking my children to it. And my son, you wouldn't think, he's two, but he surprisingly loves the dump bucket, and my daughter, who's four, is terrified of it. So we'll see.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
All right, so next item on the agenda is future meetings. What do you have in mind there, Taryn?
I just didn't know if you wanted to discuss the potential of meeting in person or what you wanted to do moving forward, or if you kind of wanted to wait and see each month as it goes. But
what are the other commissions doing? Do you know?
A lot are still doing fully online. You know, more of the regulatory boards are doing a split hybrid option.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'd like to get back in person sometime soon. You know, we have to have quorums, so we don't want to exclude anyone who's not comfortable from coming in. So maybe if someone is not comfortable coming in yet, would you please email Taryn or myself, and we'll take a consensus of whether or not we have everyone on board. So let's say the next meeting we'll do online, but the one after that, we should plan to be in person. And so that's 2 months out. And so if there's concerns before that time, please let Taryn or I know. And if we can't get a quorum that way, then we will stay online. Is that fair?
Yep.
Sounds good.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. All right. So does anyone have any other business to bring up? This is the last part of our agenda for the evening. Going once, going twice. All right. So with that, we will, can I have someone please make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I made the motion for the minute, so someone else has to jump in.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, perfect. So we will close the meeting at 7:49.